This is Fairhope Hospice Presents, sponsored by Fairhope Hospice and Palliative Care and the Pickering House, serving Fairfield, Hocking, Perry, and Athens counties.
My name is Rick Schneider, community educator for Fairhope Hospice and Palliative Care, and with me is Fairhope CEO, Denise Bauer. Denise, good to see you.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's good to be here, and I don't know if anybody's noticed yet, we got quite a few people with
we
us
do.
Today. And in the center is our grief specialist, Tracy Miller. And Tracy, would you like to introduce our guests for us?
Yes, we have two teens with us today, two lovely ladies who have opened their hearts to allow us to help them through their grief journey. And today we have Maggie with us and we have Emma.
You were saying lovely young ladies. I immediately looked at Denise. So,
I'm his boss. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
you're the boss. I forgot. Oh, okay.
There you go.
But, one of the things we do at Fairhope is we discuss not only the end of life, but afterwards, you know, the follow-up. And one of the hallmarks of Fairhope is we stay with people for, 12, 13 months after the passing.
Yeah, we keep a medical record in our medical records department, and our grief team follows up with the families or significant others for 13 months.
Yeah.
So I don't know where else in medicine in 30 years have I ever worked where that was done.
That's very true.
Open medical record that long.
The folders closed
right.
up and put away, but not with Fairhope.
Right.
And part of the grief as well is we reach out to the community. Sometimes people have lost somebody not through hospice, maybe suddenly from a car accident, any sort of heart attack. There's all sorts of things
right.
that happen. And it can be devastating, especially my dad died of a heart attack right after about 4 or 5 hours after a wedding reception. So we went from euphoric to devastated within hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me a long time to kind of figure out what was going on. And so that's what we'd like to talk about today. And Tracy has developed a program for children and young adults. And you brought up the point when my dad died, I was 23, but I was still a child in dad's eyes. So there's still that parent-child relationship no matter what the age is.
Right.
So if you would like to, Maggie, could you tell a little bit about what happened and who you had lost?
Well, I had lost my father in June last year, and I wasn't even inside of the state when it happened. I was actually coming home from my cousin's graduation party. Well, graduation party, it was supposed to be the next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been of a heart attack really early in the morning that no one was really awake. And so, yeah.
Sudden. So you kind of went from a high to a low as well, coming back from a party and getting bad news. And Emma, would you care to?
I lost my mom coming up on 4 years this September, and it wasn't that sudden. We had kind of expected it. She'd been in the hospital for about 6 months before that.
Mm-hmm. And I know even with the folks on service hospice, death comes too soon or too late, not when you're expecting it, and you're never ready for it. So how did they become involved with you, Tracy?
Through our community education to let folks know that we were here, and Maggie's mother gave us a call and Emma's grandmother gave us a call, and we began working with these wonderful ladies. And to be honest with you, Rick and Denise, I've learned a lot from them. I have told these two ladies that they are great educators, and that's what we're hoping that we get to do today, is to take a little bit of their story to help educate the community on what grief is like for our teens.
Well, let me ask you, Maggie, what was it? Is grief kind of what you expect?
It isn't really like what you expect, because you can't really expect how it feels, because everybody experiences it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like some people can go through it without really telling people about it. But then some people are really open, they kind of just shut down, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And, Denise has experienced grief not that long ago. I have. So it's individual. It's unique, but we all share. It's kind of unusual. And Emma, what is grief? I don't know what you would expect in grief. To me, I thought I'd be sad for a while and get over it. Yeah, I didn't expect that empty shell that I felt like.
Mm-hmm, me too. I just expected to get over it in about a year, and about a year was actually when it hit me hard.
Hmm. Yeah, and I hear that a lot, because you kind of figure, things happen. Now your first graduation or your first Christmas or your first, all these firsts start coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else is over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a hard part. Everybody thinks that you should be over it by now. And Do adults really get a grasp on teenage grief? Or I know the teenage years are difficult to begin with.
I don't think like adults really understand on how it works with teenagers because they don't understand how a teenager's mind really works, during like this generation and stuff. And so like it might have changed of how like if they were say a teenager, it would be different on how they would grieve than now because there's just so much like things that you can do for grieving now, like, and it's really kind of hard to really grasp how their mind's working.
And is there, I don't know, would there be any conflict between you and your parent?
It was hard for me because my grandparents are so far away from my generation that they've never experienced it in my generation.
And I know when I was growing up, you tough it out. You get over it. I know so-and-so died. Now let's get back to work and we've got to go on. And a lot of things seem to be buried. And Tracy, you're pretty good at drawing things out.
As these ladies know, I keep asking the hard questions. And I think we got some head nods on that one. So we do ask the hard questions. So Meg, you have an opportunity to let adults know how to help a hurting teen. What would be one or two points that you would want them to know?
Just like let them like tell you how they feel and not like ask them how they feel and let them start to open up to you instead of like trying to force them to open up.
Okay, and I've actually heard that from other teens. So Emma, do you have anything different or something you want to add to that?
Let them take their time, definitely.
Okay, and one comment that I've heard a lot is that we as adults, we want to try to fix it. And we try to take the pain away. How does that work? When we try to do that as adults, what are we actually doing?
You're trying to speed up the process.
And that's not good.
Yeah, it tends to make it worse.
All right, so we need to let the adults need to really listen to you. And when you don't want to talk, what do we adults need to do?
Just let it go.
Okay, back off a bit. Yep. All right, and when you come to us, we need to be ready to jump and listen. Okay.
Boy, Denise, I'm squirming a little bit here.
I think I'm always trying to fix everything, you know, nursing things, and you know that's probably the worst thing to do. I mean, just to be there to, like, when you're ready to open up, just be there to listen and support.
That's, you brought up a good point, Denise. As a parent, you do want to help protect, and evidently that's the wrong thing to do. And I agree because you know, with myself, I need to do it myself. It's good to have parents around for security. But it is. It's just part of the growing process.
So were you part of a grief group, or did you do individual work with Tracy? I mean, what kind of things have you done? I'm just curious.
I've done, like, me and my family have done, like, separate group chats with Tracy and Ernie. And
okay.
It's, like, it's a really helpful way. Like, we just kind of talk about how we feel, and then, like, she asks us questions on, like, how, like, we're going to celebrate something or how we're going to, like, do something, and It's really a good program.
Good.
I've been individual sessions with Tracy, and I'm part of the teen group now.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you at different things then, won't we? You guys will be involved. And I think that's great that we are starting to utilize our teens more in our volunteer program. So we're really glad to have you. And. You know, you'll be able to help a lot of other people. It'll be great.
And Emma is also helping us with some artwork for the art walk coming up.
Wow, great.
She is one of the three artists.
Good.
And both of these ladies have been through our family grief camp experience.
Oh, okay.
So, Emma, anything you care to share about grief camp? What was that like?
It was interesting. It was fun.
And the camp that you were at, we had ages 4 through your age.
Yep.
Yeah, and what did you learn from that?
Stuff.
Yeah. Which is a teen's way of saying that was a powerful experience. Can I share a comment that you gave to me that day? And that was you felt bad for those who are younger than you going through the pain. You found yourself wanting to try to fix it for them, which was an unusual role for her. And she found going back into that piece because she was older and almost took on kind of a motherly role at that point.
I was just thinking you were being motherly already here, just wanting to watch the little ones.
Right.
But
Oh, yeah. So anything you care to share about camp?
It was like, I really enjoyed like the crafting part of it, mm-hmm. and how like you can make stuff to keep about your like person that you lost. Mm-hmm. And it's like a really good way to like connect and see how like other people have been through the same experience and how they're handling it.
Great.
You know, Denise, we had a children's grief area for quite a while, since in the 90s, and it was more of a counseling manner of doing it. And since Tracy's come along, it's more action, and that seems to be more effective. You know, that I know I've helped at the camps a few times, and there's markers, there's instruments, there's arts, there's sculpture. You know, I'm waiting to see a few jackhammers or something. You know, you have all sorts of different things that people can use to express what's on their mind, not just talk about it.
Well, and Maggie uses music, and she actually, at one of our follow-up pizza parties, wrote a song that I listen to when I'm having a difficult day. I like to hear Maggie's song that she has written, and then I have a chance to look at Emma's artwork. So, and I let these guys know, hey, you're supporting me today because I've had a hard day. And so that is important mm-hmm. for us to understand that we learn. And we like to think of our support here as kind of grief navigation, trying to help people guide through the process because it is a difficult one. And it's one that none of us have had practice for.
Yeah, and that is nothing you can practice for.
Right.
And everybody, you know, Denise has lost folks, I've lost folks, we've had different relationships. You know, my relationships were different than yours, so it is unique, but there are still those long-term effects that you folks have now experienced. And I think they would be very good to convey to other young folks. You know, you can convey it. You know, I'm the fuddy-duddy who tells you to get over it, and you say, no, it doesn't work that way. You know, this is what you got to do. So I would like to thank Maggie and Emma. Do you have any parting shots, parting words? Or no, but I'm glad you're here, Tracy. It's amazing what you do. And we have quite a few folks who have been through the PALS program. And they're you're never really through it, are you? It's always...
No, I think we never really get over grief. What we learn is how to repurpose it, which is exactly what these two ladies are doing today, is they're repurposing their grief into educating others and helping others. Mm-hmm. And I hope the message reaches out to others who are hurting so that they know to give us a call.
Absolutely. It's somewhat the old lemon to lemonade thing. When something bad happens to you, you can always turn that into something to benefit others, something good. And we don't want to lose a parent, but now you are in a position to help others who have and kind of guide them through it. So. Well, Denise, it's been a good show. You know,
great.
Tracy had mentioned grief navigation. Well, we're going to be doing some oncology navigation possibly in the second half. Ivy O'Neill will be in from FMC, and we'll be right back.